Greetings once again. McBurney here. And you may have heard the news. But stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do focus on the news of the week through the lens of original thought. So glad to have you back aboard. So we're at church this afternoon. And, just afternoon. Church had just ended. We're sitting around the table, me and a bunch of other guys, including the pastor. And we're just talking about stuff. And some of the women in the church are cleaning earnestly, vacuuming, dusting, moving furniture, getting the job done. And my pastor says, I feel bad. We're sitting here talking and all the women are cleaning. And I said, that's the way it should be. The men should be sitting and plotting and calculating and the women should be cleaning. And my 5-year-old daughter who was at the table said, why? And all the women laughed, and it got me out of trouble. Because I was just kidding around, actually. I jumped up at that point, me and the pastor and all the other guys, and we started helping the women clean up and all of that. But she asked why without no compunction whatsoever. 5 years old, she wanted an explanation as to what that was all about. Yes. Obviously.
She's a girl.
Obviously, our children are in the genius level. She's advanced. Yeah, she'll be in the advanced placement courses at the McBurney Compound Homeschool. But let me not bore you with tales from my insignificant little life here. Let's get right to the news of the day, because I know that's what you care about the most. That's right. All right. But seriously, folks, so I feel like someone's going to throw a tomato from me in the third row, a tomato at me. I feel like someone's going to throw a tomato at me from the third row. All right. So, we went to the news of the day, and we ended up at UC Berkeley, if you can imagine that. This is from, as reported on CNN, students at the University of California, Berkeley, are petitioning to have Bill Maher removed as their commencement speaker. Yeah, Bill Maher the comedian. Yeah, I know, he's only on HBO, but apparently that's a very popular channel. A lot of people still watch Bill Maher. Well, the students at UC Berkeley are upset that Bill Maher is not liberal enough. They say Bill Maher's public statements on various religions and cultures are offensive. So I know what they're talking about when they say that he is offensive regarding certain religions. They're obviously talking about Islam. But I don't know what they're talking about when they say cultures, because you know they're not talking about the Christian culture. Because there's only one thing students at UC Berkeley hate more than Bill Maher right now, and that's the Christians. And the only people Bill Maher hates more than anybody, even the Muslims, is the Christians. So I'm not sure what the students at UC Berkeley are talking about in that respect, but they're upset that he said that Muslims act like the mafia and that they will kill you if you say the wrong thing. And you can't leave, they say they will kill you if you leave their religion, says Bill Maher. And that has upset the students at UC Berkeley, even though in the Quran it says that if you leave the religion, you should be killed. That's in their book. Let's see here. They're circulating a petition out there at UC Berkeley, as you can well imagine they might want to do. And it appears to have been written by one Khwaja Ahmed, who's a member of the Middle Eastern Muslim Coalition. Yeah, that's according to the student newspaper at Berkeley, which is typically a good source of information on the goings-on there around the campus there at UC Berkeley. So I can't number the conservative hosts who have stepped up this past week in support of Bill Maher. I mean, every single one of them. From Sean Hannity right on down have stepped, and of course I'm just guessing about that because I'm now in my second month totally off the Republican talk radio grid. I'm off the grid. Not listening to any conservative talk radio, but I happened to be skimming the channels on television, and I heard Bill Maher stand up and say that he would defend Bill Maher's right to blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So, of course, the big question this week on everyone's mind in the media is, will McBurney stand with Bill Maher? Because, as you may well know, I have a history with Bill Maher. I've sat across the desk from that pig-eyed little puke. And I've been the object of his ridicule on national television. And I have sparred with Mr. Maher in person. And made better jokes than he did, by the way, without a writer. I just want to interject that. So will I stand with Bill Maher on this issue? No, I will not. In fact, frankly, it's embarrassing that Bill Maher agrees with me on something. It makes me want to reevaluate my opinion of Islam. And I did reevaluate it, and I realized that Bill Maher only agrees with me because, like a broken clock, he happens to be right on this one thing. Or at least somewhat correct. He's not right about it. Because he doesn't really have an alternative to Islam. Except for, I think, legalized marijuana and strippers, I think, are his alternative. But he has no legitimate alternative for Islam, so he's not right about it. But he is correct in that the religion calls for the death of people who leave the religion. But I will not stand with him. I'm frankly embarrassed. And Bill Maher should be arrested right now for promoting crimes like adultery and homosexuality, and for public obscenity. He should be arrested on any given day. Bill Maher should be arrested and charged with various crimes against civilized society. So there, I do not stand with Sean Hannity in standing with Bill Maher. Absolutely not. All right. Now, speaking of Islam, as many as 20 to 30 former Guantanamo Bay detainees who were released by the Bush and Obama administrations have returned to the fight and joined forces with the Islamic State and other militant groups over in areas like Syria and Iraq. I know, it's shocking. I was stunned myself. I know, I thought they were all going to start schools for girls once they were released from Guantanamo. Yes, and I thought they would start the George W. Bush Foundation for Democracy in Syria and Iraq. I know, but no, they have joined the terrorists again. The reason being is that they were terrorists. Now, apparently, according to this story from Fox News, there have been 620 detainees released from Guantanamo Bay under both Bush and Barry Ho. 180 are estimated to have returned to the, quote, battlefield. So I'm not sure exactly what the battlefield is. It's everywhere. Asymmetrical warfare and all that. Yes, I know, which is one of the reasons that you execute these terrorists when you capture them on whatever battlefield they create. They need to be executed. Summarily shot. But no, they've Bush and Obama have ensured that hundreds of these maniacs have returned to the battlefield. And I know, I'm as shocked as you were. But did I already say on the air that this rise of ISIS corresponds with Barry Ho's release of the three top Taliban? I think I already said that. Anyway, just in case anyone suspects that the problem with Islamic terrorism and our failure to defeat it lies only with the Ho administration. This goes all the way back to George W. Bush. Hopefully you'll remember those of us who ranted and raved about Bush's outrageous rules of engagement that got our soldiers killed. And I know, Sean Hannity puts this all squarely on the shoulders of Barry Ho. It's obviously the Ho administration's fault, like everything is the Ho administration's fault. That's the knee-jerk Republican response on Fox News. Well, How did this embarrass President Obama? How does this affect President Obama's opinion polls? Did Barack Obama say the wrong thing on this? Did he say the wrong thing on that? Anyway, I have to turn it off because I just can't take it. But there you go. I give Fox News, I did mention that they reported this story. And they reported it in an effort to embarrass President Obama. Nowhere in this story that I pulled down from Fox News does it mention that George W. Bush released 100 or so of these maniacs. All right. But we will move on to the Holly Weird Reporter, because while the war rages on, back here in America, our servicemen and women and others are up to various things. In fact, one of the SEALs who claims he pulled the trigger, claims he was the shooter of Osama bin Laden, he plans to do a show on Fox News. Yes, Fox News has a show slated to air November 11th and 12th called The Man Who Killed Osama Bin Laden, and it will be hosted by the complete bozo and empty suit, Peter Doocy, probably the most hollow man to ever occupy a chair on television, is Peter Doocy, and he's going to interview this SEAL who claims to have shot Osama bin Laden. Well, the Pentagon says that the SEALs who participated in that mission do not have their permission to discuss the classified mission, and that they have threatened this SEAL as well as Fox News not to air this program. They say that the Navy SEAL could face a criminal investigation if he goes on television and talks about a classified mission. Now, of course, the knee-jerk Republican reaction is to say, well, Barack Obama, he's threatening the Navy SEALs who killed Osama bin Laden. He's a hero. But really, I mean, does this fellow have no shame? I mean, if he did kill Osama bin Laden, and of course I've seen no evidence that that actually occurred. I would have liked to have seen some evidence. So I'm not saying it didn't occur. I'm just saying I haven't seen the evidence, okay? I haven't put on a tinfoil hat. I'm not tracking black helicopters around my neighborhood. I'm just saying I haven't seen the evidence. If this guy actually did it, which I have a tendency to doubt, I don't buy into stuff like this right off the bat. Has he no shame? I do not doubt that he participated in the mission. And if he did so, he should keep his mouth shut about it. That's all. You know, if you're special forces and you're operating in classified missions, you should never talk about it. And I thought that was an unwritten rule in that line of work, but apparently nothing is sacred anymore, and even our heroes have no shame. What's next for this Navy SEAL? Next, he'll get a reality show, maybe, on A&E or TLC. I know they've got to replace Honey Boo Boo. I heard about that. Did you hear about that, Honey Boo Boo? Her mother moved in with a child molester, and allegedly.
What? I thought she got married.
Maybe she got married to him, or she moved in with him.
No,
no, no, no.
Oh, no?
No, you haven't been following Honey Boo Boo, have you? You lost track. All right. Well, we'll try to get our staff back on track, keeping up to date on the important stories of the day. But maybe this Navy SEAL, maybe it'll be Here Comes SEAL Team 6. I don't know. Just you know, there are certain things in the military that shouldn't even have to be said. Like, you don't do interviews about killing high-value terrorist targets. I don't know. Maybe the SEALs are so upset at the way they've been treated by the Ho administration that, I don't know, all bets are off at this point. But me personally, if I was involved in something like that, I would never do an interview about that. It's basically like squandering all of the moral capital involved in accomplishing the mission by going on Fox News and doing an interview and kind of bragging about it. It just seems, well, unseemly.
Take it all out. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the fastest streaming show on the internet, depending on your ISP download speeds. We move now to the domestic tranquility file, and we go to Stillwater, Oklahoma. That's right, Oklahoma. Yes, just a few weeks ago, the scene of a terrorist beheading. And we've got a story out of Stillwater from Fox in Oklahoma City. Investigators say Isaiah Marin confessed to killing his friend Jacob Crockett inside his apartment. Police say Crockett's head was almost entirely removed from his body. So a beheading in Oklahoma. So naturally, we're all interested, and we look at the story. We find out that it has no relation or any connection to any kind of Islamic terrorism or anything like that. This is just another angry young white punk, another product of the public schools, who says he told investigators that he, quote, fantasized about committing murders. In fact, he fantasized about committing multiple murders, but authorities say there is only one victim. And he was beheaded not by Islamic terrorists, but by something that is a much more clear and present danger to your family and mine, and that's the angry young white heathen who's been raised by the public schools and video games and marijuana and could explode at any moment in any place, and who may be fantasizing right now about killing you or someone you love. Much more of a threat than any Islamic terrorists are the products of the government schools. And, of course, not all of them are immediate, clear, and present danger. But there's plenty of them. As a matter of fact, I would posit my estimate that angry young white punk heathens are responsible for the deaths of more Americans since September 10th, 2001 than all of the Islamic terrorists against everyone, including our soldiers. I know someone would have to do the research and run the numbers on that, but I guarantee you it's true. All right. So we move now from the domestic tranquility file into the justice file, back to the Islamic terrorists. A friend, according to the AP, a friend of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Jakar Tsarnaev. How could I forget this guy's name, for crying out loud? Jakar Tsarnaev, yeah. His friend was convicted last week of lying during the investigation. The next sentence should read, his execution took place or he is scheduled to be executed on. But that's not the next line. In fact, this fellow who aided a terrorist who set off a bomb on American soil, he faces a maximum sentence of, I believe, 16 years. He was found guilty of two counts, faces 8 years on each count. Who came up with 8 years on each count? Probably a committee of lawyers making $300 an hour. Worked on it for a month to come up with that. Let's see, lying during a terrorism investigation. Let's open up the committee hearing on that. And they all light up cigars, and I guess they don't light up cigars anymore. But they sit around for about a month, and they come up, well, we think 8 years is probably the most judicious punishment for lying during a federal terrorism investigation. And then they process that like sausage through the legislature, and here we have it. A young man who should have been taken out of the courtroom and shot in the back of the head without any warning is what should have happened to this guy. Lying during the investigation of a bombing on American soil? Are you kidding me that this guy's going to be allowed to even live? Well, now, this young man, Robel Filipos, his lawyer says that this kid was too high on marijuana to clearly remember what he did that night. He didn't mean to lie. He was just too stoned, and he didn't remember that he had removed incriminating evidence from Tsarnaev's. What, dude? Huh? That was like bad?
I'm sorry, dude. I just had the munchies, and I was going to trade in his laptop for some Cheetos. Dude. So that's what his lawyer says. He was too high on marijuana, and his memory was faulty due to that. Now, Michael Dukakis actually testified for the terrorist. Now, I know very few people remember Michael Dukakis, so I'll have to refresh your memory. Michael Dukakis was some kind of Democratic politician. Even I don't remember him all that well. But I remember he ran against, well, I think it was Ronald Reagan in 1984. My goodness, I could be wrong about that. I don't remember. I don't remember who Michael Dukakis is. I apologize. But I know he's famous. I think he was the governor of Massachusetts. That's it. He was the he was the 1988 Democrat presidential nominee. He ran against George Herbert Walker Bush. That's the older, creepier looking Bush. Yes. Now, thankfully, the AP refreshed my memory. All I can remember about Michael Dukakis is he rode around in that tank with that like 1920s football helmet on, and he looked like a complete idiot. Anyway, Michael Dukakis was called to testify for Robel Philippos. Yes, Dukakis is an old family friend of the terrorist friend's mother. And he was on the phone with this little punk 5 days after the bombings. How is it that someone who was smoking pot in the room one of the flying Tsarnaev brothers, how is he talking to Michael Dukakis 5 days later? Can someone please? I mean, that just blows my mind. Perhaps Michael Dukakis should be investigated. Anyway, Dukakis said that he talked to him on the phone, and he said the kid was so confused, he just didn't remember what he had said. Dukakis, ever the lawyer, right? Willing to lie for just about anyone if it can help him in any way. Unbelievable. Michael Dukakis is on the phone with this guy. It's a small world. Anyway, sentencing is scheduled for this little pothead punk, terrorist, murderer, by the way. Yes, accomplice to murder. He's scheduled to be sentenced January 29th. And he will remain until then under house arrest on an electronic monitoring bracelet. And he will not be snuck up on from behind and shot in the head like he should be. And this is why we will lose the war against the Islamists. This is why. 1,000 years from now, when the caliphate is looking back upon how they won their great victory, this will be one of the they'll sit and they'll laugh over this. They'll be like, can you believe Michael Dukakis was on the phone with the... And then they let him live. He was one of our... You know? Maybe sitting over there molesting goats and talking about how they destroyed Christendom. And they'll point to this. All right. We go now into the justice file. And I'm not sure why. I downloaded this story because I thought it had some greater meaning, but I'm not seeing it right now. But let me just read it and see if it comes to me. A California Highway Patrol officer has admitted that he stole inappropriate photos of women he arrested and then traded them with other officers as part of a game that he and the other officers played. So they would arrest drunk women, DUIs, public intoxication, and they would pull the photos off these women's phones and then trade them like baseball cards or something. And, this is a 35-year-old CHP officer. He admitted to sharing photos of female arrestees, he says, about a half a dozen times in the last several years. That means hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, but there's probably a half dozen times that they've got him caught on. Anyway, this is just shameful. This is an example of the devolving quality of human being in our civilization. I mean, these are the police. These are the serve and protect guys. And look what they've just degenerated into. And I think this is the fruit of unbridled public sexual immorality. This is what it leads to. It leads to, it taints even the good guys. So we'll move from the California Highway Patrol to reason number 833 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. Reason number 833, your child may see an inappropriate picture of his teacher's partner. Yes, a teacher at John Muir High School, Pasadena, California, Richard Rosa. Well, he recently broke up with his partner, David. Well, David was upset, so he accessed his partner's telephone, got into his online accounts, and sent emails including inappropriate photographs to all the students and teachers in the high school teacher's address book, which was hundreds of students received inappropriate photos from their teacher's partner. The teacher, he's been teaching at Muir High School since 2007, and he's been a homosexual pervert since who knows when, but he's been a teacher. Anyway, that's reason number 833, to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And that was another really disgusting one. Talk about it. I feel like we need someone in here with a fire hose, for crying out loud. Just so, well, from, can I even go to this story now? Probably need a penicillin shot if I read that. I gotta find something that's not so Let's get it over with. All right. Here's the headline from the Washington Post. Transgender military members are in a precarious position. Yes. Yes, I know. Captain Sage Fox, if that is his real name, he's 41 years old. He's a U.S. Army Reserve officer. Been in the military for 14 years. He's a hero. He's a hero, no doubt. He's a hero. Well, he returned to his post recently in Sacramento as a new person. His voice was higher with the help of vocal training, and his features softer as a result of hormone therapy. He had grown out her hair, and she got permission to use the female latrine and to be addressed as ma'am. So, Sage Fox was a boy, and at the age of 41 years old, after 14 years in the military, decided to become a girl. All right, this is it. This is the end. This is another one that the mullahs of the caliphate will sit and chuckle over. Yeah, as they divvy up Western civilization amongst themselves, they'll be laughing over this story. Yes, while we were making war, they were registered with the transgender nobility. They smoke their hookahs. You take West Virginia. I will take Southern California. I will be the mullah. All right, so this Sergeant Fox, well, got back to the base, was using the female latrine, just going about his own business as a hero. And he was told his orders had been reversed and that he was going to be kicked out of the military because he's a tranny. And so, well, there's some confusion in the military, as you can well imagine. Washington Post reports that thousands of men and women in the U.S. military are caught in the gap between shifting cultural mores and military regulations that still require the immediate dismissal of any service member found to be a tranny. Yes, but now there's a widespread expectation in the military that the Pentagon is going to lift the ban on transgendered service, just as they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Chuck Hagel, according to the Post, has indicated that he's open to studying the transgender ban. And we know what that means. As soon as they decide to study it, they might as well just repeal it. Chuck Hagel may be the next one flying to Trinidad for a sex change operation. Once they decide to study these things, I mean, it is over. Forget about it. The homos have established the same modus operandi as repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And so it's going to happen. And so Sergeant Fox, while all of us are sitting around wondering why is Sergeant Fox using the female latrine, He's wondering why they won't accept him in the military as a transgendered person. Back. I, your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer. It's cold down here now, though. Yeah, we're all layered up in winter clothing as we're down here in the bowels of the McBurney compound, coming to you worldwide on the World Wide Web, unrestrained by the traditional bounds of the terrestrial media. That's right, you can listen to us anywhere in the world, and we're glad to have you aboard. Ted Olson is a Republican. That's right. Theodore Olson has some impressive Republican credentials. Yes, he served in the Justice Department as an Assistant Attorney General in the Reagan administration and was Solicitor General in the George W. Bush administration. And is always a welcome guest on the Sean Hannity Show, and is often regaled with stories about Bill O'Reilly by Bill O'Reilly. Yes, Ted Olson is a Republican, and he appeared last week in the USA Today. He says that the Supreme Court of the United States, through action and inaction, has passed the point of no return on same-sex marriage. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean that Antonin Scalia is going to be marrying John Roberts? No, I don't know. Does he mean that Ginsburg is going to marry the Mexican girl? I don't think that's what he means. Let's read on, but we'll find out what he means here. Oh, he says that basically there's no turning back. Oh, that's what he means. He says that the Supreme Court should now just go ahead and take up a case and affirmatively endorse homosexual marriage. Might as well just do it. He says we've passed the point of no return. Well, he says waiting for lower courts would not be good enough because it's not now. And when do the homos want us to bow down and worship them? Now! When do they want us to bake them a cake? Now! When do they want us to tell them that their perverted, sick relationships are every bit as valuable to society as a man and a woman with children? They want it now! They want to hear it right now! And Ted Olson, Republican, is probably their number one cheerleader. They call him an unlikely champion in the gay marriage movement over at USA Today. Why? Because he's a Republican. Which shows that the people at USA Today haven't been paying attention. Did they not notice that it was a Republican Supreme Court that in fact established homosexual marriage? That it was a Republican governor who first instituted homosexual marriage? Don't they remember that it was a Republican Supreme Court who gave the liberals their ultimate sacrament, which is legalized abortion? At USA Today, are they just stupid? Or maybe they think we're stupid. I think that's more likely. Now, you folks remember that Ted Olson, Republican, joined forces in 2009 with David Boyce, a Democrat, lawyer, to challenge California's ban on same-sex marriage. And in just 5 years since that dark black alliance between Boyce and Olson, in just 5 years, the number of states recognizing homosexual, deviant, perverted marriage has exploded from 3
to 32, according to USA Today, 32 and counting. Yeah. Olson says in an interview with USA Today, quote, "We never thought it would move this fast." Yes, and he attributes the change in legal status and public opinion on homosexual marriage to the work of a lot of lawyers and Hollywood. So he comes right out and says what I've been saying, that it's the lawyers and the proctocracy and the Hollywood deviants who are destroying the country. I guess that's not a very brilliant observation, but it is good to see it recognized by the enemy. At least they admit that what I say about them is true. What's the problem? It's the lawyers and it's Hollywood. They're destroying the country. Now, Ted Olson is a 74-year-old Republican. He says he doesn't think about his legacy, which is a lie, because all of these legal, all of these lawyers and political types, they're all obsessed with their legacy. That's all this guy thinks about is his legacy. And he says he hopes he has a few years left. Well, that would be the opposite of my hope. He says that his work on homosexual marriage is, quote, "the legal accomplishment that I think will always mean the most to me," he says. Just like a lawyer. He says, "I think it will always mean the most to me," leaving himself some wiggle room, like lawyers always do with everything they say. "Well, I think it will mean the most to him on Judgment Day." And the wiggle room he left himself with, "Well, I think it'll always mean the most to him. I think." Well, there won't be any wiggle room for Ted Olson, Republican, on Judgment Day, and his work on behalf of the homosexualization of civilization will be extremely important to everyone involved in Judgment Day. And I frankly look forward to being there and watching Ted Olson squirm on judgment. Oh, by the way, one more note to Ted Olson and the folks at USA Today. The point of no return on homosexual marriage was passed in the early 1990s when the pro-family industry adopted equal rights but not special rights for homosexuals. You see, they abandoned 4,000 or 5,000 years of human history in which homosexuality was considered a criminal offense by the government. They abandoned all that. Well, there were a couple of brief times when homosexuality was celebrated, a couple of brief periods of history right before the fall of major empires. Gee, what do we have in America? A major empire. Let's not think about that. Move along, folks. There's nothing to see here. But yeah, it was the pro-family industry led by Focus on the Family in the early 1990s who crossed the Rubicon on homosexual marriage. Once the pro-life industry said that homosexuals should be treated equally, it was just a matter of time before homosexuals took over the government, took over the schools, took over the entertainment industry, and began to, it was just a matter of time before they force everyone to become a homosexual or be killed. That's what's coming. I know I sound crazy. I should put on my tinfoil hat and start looking for black helicopters. But I'm telling you that this type of deviancy is insatiable. They will kill anyone who disagrees with them. And it's just a matter of time until we get there, unless something changes dramatically. And that's why we're here, to change things dramatically. And we're doing it not by voting Republican. We get 60 calls a day from the Republican Party here leading up to the election. And we could care less about all that because it's ridiculous theater. We are raising godly children. And that's the only thing that's going to save this country, is to stand up and speak out and don't be afraid, even if it means losing something valuable like a career or a position or a friendship or a slot in a certain social circle. You might lose something like that if you stand up and speak the truth. But you got to do it, and you've got to raise godly children. That's the only hope for the country. The Republicans, forget about it, okay? Forget about the... Some guy sent me an email. This guy thinks he's really somebody. He says, "Does anyone out there have any candidates that are on the bubble? I can send some cash right here at the end."
And I had a conversation with him. I said, you're going to keep shoveling money to the Republicans, you moron? You think that's going to change the country? This guy claims to be some kind of crusader for social values. I said, don't you remember 1994? Don't you remember just back in 2010? We went through all this. Are we any better than we were? I mean, I could take you all the way back to 1980 when Ronald Reagan supposedly saved the conservative world. Well, how much better off were we culturally in regards to homosexuality, sexual immorality, drugs, pornography? How much better off were we in 1988 when Reagan left office? Anyway, the Republicans, just forget about it. All right, now just to offend all the Republicans in the audience. Yeah, if you think the Republicans are the answer, well, just please bear with me, okay? Just please bear with me. I guess I shouldn't yell at people. It takes people a long time to come around. I was a part of the 1994, remember all that? Rah, rah, Republican, go Newt, yay! I was a part of all of that. And if that's where you are right now, well, God bless you, okay? But I've been doing this for 20 years, and I came around. Do I need to go back to the Ted Olson story? Okay. Do I need to go back to Mitt Romney and homo marriage in Massachusetts? Do I need to go back to Judge Blackmun and Roe versus Wade? How much longer are you sucker morons going to buy into this Republican line? You're like abused wives, for crying out loud. They keep smacking you around, and you keep cleaning up after them. It's just, okay, I'm running out of time now because I get sidetracked with these Republicans. Reason number 834, as reported by Breitbart. This is out of London. Reasons to keep or get your children out of the government schools. They'll be told that it's okay to be a pervert. Yes, and they may be required. As a matter of fact, Education Secretary Nicky Morgan in the United Kingdom conducted 40 snap inspections of faith schools. These are religious schools, Christian and Jewish schools. And they have discovered that schools are not adequately preparing students for life in modern Britain. By which we mean embracing alternative lifestyles. Yes. Now, faith schools who fail to properly prepare their students to embrace alternative lifestyles will be subject to more snap inspections, downgrades, and possible closure. That's right, I said closure. There will be penalties if these faith schools are deemed to be in breach of the Equalities Act. And you all remember the Equalities Act. It mandates respect for gay and transgendered people. We insist that it is crucial that Jewish and Christian schools actively promote British values, including tolerance for other lifestyles, including gay and transgendered students. Yes, yes, no. Would you like to keep your credentials, mate? Well, then put your Bible away.
All right now! Let's go!
View. McBurney here, coming to you
from deep within the bowels of the McBurney compound, alongside my extremely attractive audio engineer. You were reaching for something British there, weren't you? That was the closest thing we had. It was a Scandinavian cover of a sweet song. The closest thing you could get to something British without Zeppelin, right? There's just nothing Zeppelin that fit right there. Now we go to the Good Pope, Bad Pope file. Yes, Good Pope, Bad Pope. I've had a theory about history, Good Pope, Bad Pope, but I won't get into that because we're running out of time. The Pope last week, according to Breitbart, said that God is not some sort of wizard. He said he's the creator who brought all things into being. And he said that the origin of the world derives directly from a supreme principle of creative love. And I agree. So that goes in the Good Pope file. Or I guess we put that in the Good Pope column. One hash mark for the Good Pope. Then the Pope said, quote, evolution is in nature is not inconsistent with the notion of creation because evolution requires the creation of beings that evolve. Oh, chalk that one up into the Bad Pope column. Yes, it's bad for the Pope to undermine the credibility of the book of Genesis. Yes, it undermines the credibility of Genesis. The Big Bang and evolution all posit that mankind came along billions and billions of years after the creation when Jesus Christ himself said that from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, taking care of the evolution debate and the homosexuality debate in one statement. That's the efficiency of our Savior. That's right. Taking down two of the major social issues of the day in one sentence. But the Pope is undermining that. Now, the Pope went on to say that God and Christ who walk with us are also found in nature, created beings, and they let them develop in accordance with the internal laws that God gave to each one. Okay, I'll agree with that. We'll put that in the Good Pope file. It would be in the Good Pope file if it not for the previous statement. So now everything this guy says, in my opinion, goes into the Bad Pope file. Even when he says something good, he's undermined the foundation of his entire existence. There's no reason for a pope if Genesis is not true, because if Genesis is not true, Christianity is a lie. Because Jesus Christ quoted it as if it was true, Bad Pope. All right, that's it. Get out of here, Bad Pope. Now, we move deeper into the Bad Pope file. Elton John, according to Showbiz 411, Elton John, through his annual AIDS fundraiser in New York last week, it was a star-studded event, and Showbiz goes on to list all the stars who were there. And by the way, God's taking notes on this, all the stars who were at Elton John's. Yeah, Anderson Cooper was the MC. Yeah. Elton John spoke passionately about ending AIDS and at one point said, quote, Pope Francis is my hero. He's a compassionate, loving man who wants everybody to be included in the love of God. It is a formidable thing what he is trying to do against many, many people in the church. Please, just make him a saint already, okay? said Elton John. And then he regaled them all with piano and song. He raised another $3 million for AIDS. Well, probably $4 million rounded up, whatever. Raised another $3 million for the AIDS industry. And basically, hey, Pope, the Bible says we will know you by your fruits. And if Elton John is calling for your sainthood, you should be reevaluating your position. That goes into the Bad Pope file. Now we move to reason number 832 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, and that is that the schools give equal time to Satan. Yes, equal time to Satan. An atheist group is planning to distribute a pamphlet in several Florida public high schools, and it's a pamphlet that calls the Bible an X-rated book. And, I don't want to get into the, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is behind this. You see, they filed a lawsuit against the Orange County, Florida School District, and the lawsuit was dismissed by a judge because the school district agreed to acquiesce and allow the atheist maggot scum, destroyers of Western civilization,
and perverts to hand out their literature at the public school. So the school, the administrators at the school were scared of a lawsuit, and they acquiesced, and they're going to let the atheists, I can't even say it, and the perverts come in and distribute their literature because the school district had previously allowed Christians to passively distribute Bibles. Yeah, so they allowed Christians to put some Bibles on a table and then stand there silently. And maybe one or two students out of 1,000 would pick one up. And that flipped out the perverts and the atheists. They couldn't stand that. So now they're going to get to do the same thing with their perverted literature. The school was attempting to avoid. Oh, I got a quote here. Is it a quote? No, not a quote, just an interesting factoid. The Freedom From Religion Foundation co-president is one Annie Laurie Gaylor, who is the daughter of Anne Nicole Gaylor, who we all remember as the author of the book, Abortion is a Blessing. So this is what you're going to get if you keep or let your kids go to the government schools. Anne Nicole Gaylor's daughter handing out pamphlets and probably copies of that book, Abortion is a Blessing, because the lawyers scared the cowards at the public school administration. All right, now, into the personhood file from the College Fix. Pro-life groups like Created Equal have encountered growing opinions at universities, including Purdue, University of Minnesota, Central Florida, Ohio State, of students supporting what they admit is post-birth abortion. Post-birth abortion. Now, this is something that my pastor, Bob Enyart, 20 years ago on the radio, said, if we don't stop this, eventually they're going to say, yes, it's a person, yes, it's a baby. In fact, even after it's born, we want to kill it. And here we are, folks, on the college campi. Created Equal actually caught a woman, an older woman on campus, on a video defending infanticide, the right to kill children after they're born. And later, a pro-abortion activist group stated that it supported the views of that woman. Yeah, a pro-abortion activist group called Vox, they stated that its views were similar to those of the woman in the video who said that post-birth abortion, previously known as infanticide, was perfectly acceptable. A spokes-dyke for Vox said, quote, as for post-birth abortion, I would imagine that my colleagues would think the post-birth part was largely irrelevant. We believe very strongly in abortion on demand. That's Devin Deitch, leader of Vox, Voices for Planned Parenthood at Ohio State. That could be one reason to keep your kids out of the government-funded state higher education system as well. But that list is crowded. In fact, we go to reason number 833 right now to keep or get your children out of the government schools. Reason 833, they may be beaten within an inch of their lives for articles of clothing. Yeah, in Detroit, a 16-year-old is clinging to life after being attacked by a classmate over his shoes. He was wearing his Nike Air Force shoes and was attacked. He was beaten so bad that he suffered a seizure, a fractured skull, bleeding in his brain, damage to his chin, cheek, and neck. He was basically beaten, dragged into a classroom, beaten, and left for dead. He was last reported in critical condition. The other students wanted his shoes. Now, the school board of directors, the vice president there, he says the school's thoughts and prayers are with the student and his family. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. Now, he could not say if he was praying to Jesus, and if he was praying to Jesus, he certainly could not say that. But he was allowed to condescend to the family and the rest of us with a platitude about our thoughts and prayers are with the students and his family. As we create an environment in which students, well, they believe they've all evolved from animals. And if you like a guy's shoes and you're bigger and stronger, well, he should evolve or you're going to take his shoes. But our thoughts and prayers are with the family. He also says that Students will be reminded of the zero tolerance policy against violence on Monday morning. So, everything's fine. That's reason number 833 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Yeah, that's Detroit. Man, I might want to just give everyone advice. Just get out of Detroit, for crying out loud. That's a scary place. I mean, not only are the buildings falling down and the, you know, all that, the rats, the decaying, dilapidated neighborhoods, but the government schools there, I'm sure, are particularly vicious. Well, as exemplified by a student being beaten nearly to death, because other students wanted the shoes he was wearing. You see, the other students, they wanted to evolve, and part of their evolution was to get his shoes. And he was weaker. They were stronger. They were the fittest in their own minds. And so they would survive with the shoes. This is what they've been taught. So there you go. We move finally into the domestic tranquility / justice file. This is a domestic tranquility story that was converted into a justice story by one of the actors. A Lumberton, North Carolina grandfather was at home when three armed suspects knocked on his door around 10 p.m. Well, they stormed into the house and they forced the elderly Bird and his wife into the rear of the home, and they demanded he open his safe at gunpoint. The three suspects then tried to assault Mr. Bird's granddaughter. Three armed men. Now they're circling his granddaughter. But Mr. Bird managed to grab a gun, and he shot all three suspects. Yeah, he shot all three of them. Now, they shot back, and they wounded him pretty badly. He's in the hospital right now. Then they stole his car, and they fled in it. But one of them died in the car, and his body was found. The other two were apprehended when they went to the hospital for the gunshot wounds inflicted upon them by 67-year-old Kenneth Bird, who goes some measure this week in restoring our hope for Western civilization. Bird was airlifted to a hospital. He underwent surgery. He is recovering and is expected to recover. And we thank God for that. And we thank God that he found a gun before they assaulted his 19-year-old grandmother. So there, his 19-year-old granddaughter. Sorry. Thank you. All right. Obviously, that's time for me to go. I'll be back with you next week. I want to thank my friends at kgov.com, at Denver Bible Church, and American Right to Life. And as always, my other brother there, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, I'll be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.